Welcome to the Allspring Global Investments Podcast, where we explore what's happening in the markets and discuss our outlook for the ever-changing investment landscape. Thought leaders provide their views on the latest global trends in sustainability, technology, emerging markets, and more. Join us as we take you down the road of investing elevated.
Hi there, I'm Allegra Heiligers, and you're listening to our first edition of Allspring's On the Trading Desk. I'm the head of the distribution enablement team for Allspring Global Investments, and we have a very special first episode for you today. With me is Allspring's new CEO, Joe Sullivan. Joe and I will be having a conversation about his background, his career, what brought him here to lead Allspring Global Investments, and his thoughts and feelings about the opportunities in front of us. Welcome to the program, Joe.
It's great to be here, Allegra. Thanks.
To start off, Joe, you know, maybe we should just sort of take a step back. Why did you choose to come and lead Allspring? Maybe tell us a little bit about this opportunity and why it was uniquely attractive for you at this stage in your career.
Well, I think in terms of the last part of the question, why is it uniquely attractive for me at this stage of my career? I think this is actually the single best opportunity I've ever had throughout my entire business career. And we can talk more about that later. But I truly believe that the fundamental challenge and opportunity here is to be able to evolve and build upon and create the company that we can be, that we want to be, that we need to be, and to be able to do it at scale. And I think it's just such an extraordinarily unique opportunity. And I think, you know, when I was thinking about the first opportunity that came my way to become executive chair of the company, and then secondly, the opportunity to step in as CEO of Allspring, I came to the same conclusion when I considered both opportunities. And that was, gosh, if I didn't do this, I think I'd live to regret it. And so, you know, just by way of background, you know, I was formerly the CEO of Legg Mason. And in early February of 2020, we entered into an agreement to sell the company to Franklin Templeton, right just as the pandemic was coming on. And we ultimately closed that transaction on July 31st in really record time for a transaction of that size. And then sometime in November, and I don't remember exactly, it was a little bit before, a little bit after Thanksgiving, I don't recall, I received a call from an investment banker with whom I'd done some business over the years, who said, "Hey, Joe, I have someone who would like to talk to you about an opportunity. I think it's a fairly meaningful opportunity, could be kind of interesting. You know, want to know what your thoughts are." And I said, "Gosh, you know, I kind of, after what had been 8 years at Legg Mason or thereabouts as CEO, and, you know, a tough year with COVID and closing a transaction and all that's gone with that, kind of committed to not thinking about different opportunities until the first of the year, maybe just taking kind of August 1 through the rest of the year off. So how about, you know, maybe we can pick it up then?" And he said, "Look, this isn't going to be around that long. This has got a short fuse to it. They really want to talk with you." And so I agreed to take the initial call. About 3 or 4 days later, they called again and said, "Hey, we'd like to follow up with a second call." And I took that call. And I don't know, maybe a week later, they called and said, "We'd like to have a third call and talk a little bit more seriously." And ultimately, in late, I guess, mid to late January, they called me to say, "Look, we want you to join us and be part of this. And we're going forward."
I mean, you have such a tenured career. I mean, is there a secret or a motivation to keep you growing as a professional? Do you have any lessons learned that you'd want to share with the audience?
For me, I guess it's what keeps me going. I guess it's that I always feel like there's more. I used to chair the board of trustees of a local high school where my three sons went, but they have a saying there called the Magis, and the Magis refers to the more or the greater or what still can be done. And I remember asking my son at one point, I said, "How do you think about what the Magis means?" And he said, "It's never being satisfied with good enough." And I thought, wow. And, you know, it was interesting. Milton Berlinski, when I was interviewing with all of the partners from Reverence and GTCR and having conversations about joining as executive chair, Milton said, it was very interesting. He said, "Joe, I just have one question for you." He said, "You had a successful career at Legg. Why are you interested in doing this?" And it wasn't the CEO role, if you recall. It was just the executive chair. And I said, "You know, Milton, it just feels to me like there's unfinished business." And he said, "It's all I need to hear." He goes, "That's the exact answer I hope to hear. And that's all I need to hear." And I think that's kind of how I think about it. It's, if you feel like you can do more, then there's a sense of unfinished business. There's a sense of the magis and not being satisfied with what you've done, but being excited about what more you can do. And not that I can do it all alone, but just being part of a team and part of a group and part of a company that can do more. And I think we can do that.
I really like that do more. And I agree with you. I think there's a lot more that we can do as Allspring. I guess shifting gears a little bit. Joe, where did you grow up? Tell us a little bit about your background and your family. You just told us you had three boys.
Right.
Anything else that you could sort of share with us?
Yeah, of course, my daughter would say, oh, well, of course, you've talked about the three boys and you've left me out again, Dad, which is not true. I never leave her out. But so I like to kind of tongue in cheek say when people say, where'd you grow up? I usually say the other side of the tracks. I did grow up in, I would say, kind of a blue collar family. In the family that I grew up in, I was the oldest of three boys and the youngest being my sister. And our family that my wife Susie and I have are three boys and the youngest being my daughter. So similar there. I grew up in the Midwest, most of the time in Minneapolis, although I did spend a short time in my life in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. My father was transferred up there for his job, and we were up there for a couple of years. My brother was born in Canada, actually. We did live in Milwaukee and loved it for about 3 years. And I actually went to school in Menominee Falls. And if we're in the office in Menominee Falls, you can look outside, you can see the church and the school there. But I only went there for a short period of time. Then we went to Wauwatosa and I went to school there for about 3 years in middle school. And then we were transferred back to Minneapolis. So I'm really, you know, at my core a Minnesotan. So anyway, that's a little bit of my background.
Thank you. I didn't realize how full circle you were coming with office visits to Menominee Falls and that you had had a bit of your own past there.
Yeah.
Well, here's a tough one. What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice came from the most influential person in my life, which is my father. You know, it's interesting. My father had his own challenges and demons. And so he was, like all of us, a very imperfect person. But obviously, he was my dad, and I loved him deeply. He was the wisest man I ever knew. He didn't always live his own wisdom, but I quote him all the time. But the best piece of advice he ever gave me was when I was 10 years old. And that advice, the story behind that is that I was trying out for the very first time for Little League. And back in those days, I don't know what they do anymore, but back in those days, they separated the players between the major league players, which were the better players, and those who made a minor league team, and they were the weaker players. And I was at school, and one of my good buddies, who remained a very good buddy with mine through college, we're talking like knucklehead little boys do. And he said that he informed me that I would not make the major league team because I wasn't good enough. And so that night, my mom had dinner on the table, and my dad was saying, hurry up, you need to finish dinner because you have tryouts again tonight for Little League. I said, I don't have to go, Dad. And he said, why not? And I said, because I'm not going to make the majors. And he said, I'll never forget, he put his fork down. He said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I'm not going to make the majors. And he said, well, how do you know that? And I said, well, John so-and-so told me today at school I wasn't good enough to make the majors. And I'll never forget the look he gave me, a piercing look. And he looked at me and he said, Joe, you should never let anyone else tell you what you can or cannot do. You decide what you want to do, and then you go do it. And he said, do you want to play on the majors? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, then finish up your dinner. We're going to tryouts and go do it. It was a pretty stern message with my three younger siblings around a table, but I never forgot it. And so many, many times in my life, trying out for other teams, trying out for this or that, trying to do better in a class. You know, he used to tell me things like, make your short suit your long suit. If you struggle with math, find a way to turn it into your strength. And that was another way of saying, don't let somebody tell you you're not good at math. Figure out a way to make math your best subject. And so I've kind of embraced that, Allegra, through my entire life, which is I'm not going to let anybody else decide for me what I can and cannot do. I've carried that with me among a multitude of other sayings and pieces of wisdom, but that's the one that's probably made the biggest difference in my life.
That's some pretty great advice. So over the course of your career, has there been a client experience that has changed your way of thinking?
You know, the last thing you said was really important, the changed your way of thinking. And that's something I think we have to work on a lot at Allspring. And that's not just everybody else, that's including me, right? So the experiences that best reflect that frankly, have been actually in my previous part of my career when I was on the capital market side of the business. And I used to work for regional broker dealers. So unlike the major big hitters in New York and all this kind of stuff, I worked for good, high quality regional firms, but regional firms that had to compete for business based on our savvy and our intelligence and our creativity rather than our brawn or our scale or our capital. And there were a number of times when clients were looking to do a certain capital raising on the debt side. And there was just great skepticism, which, you know, the larger broker dealers in New York would always feed the narrative that we were nice tries, second cousins, but we're the big guys here, was kind of the mindset. And I'm just thinking of three different cases, three different capital raisings that I worked on at three different companies where we pitched a different and an innovative type of deal where the New York banks poo-pooed it. They said it could never get done. It was too gimmicky. It was, you know, it wasn't as vanilla. It wasn't as clean cut. In the three cases I'm thinking of off the top of my head, we had incredibly successful transactions that actually gave the companies that needed those financing, those capital raises, exactly what they wanted and a better transaction than they could have ever achieved out of New York. And so it's a little bit of that underdog mentality. I think the lesson for me is don't be afraid of bigger competition. Bigger doesn't mean better. If you can be bigger and better, then you got something. But you start with better first, and better means innovative, you know, hustling more, working harder, all that kind of stuff. And I think you can win and develop a reputation of being a high-quality firm, high-quality people who do a great job, irrespective of what size firm you're with.
I like that notion of creativity and doing it differently and putting more in. This has been a great conversation, Joe. I'm so happy that the audience and I have had the opportunity to learn a little bit more about you through our discussion. I guess as we close out here, are there any parting thoughts you'd like to leave today with our listeners?
First of all, thank you for having me. And I think this is a really exciting moment. It's not often you get to be part of something where you're starting and building something new, but at scale, as I mentioned earlier. And one of the things I've been thinking about is sort of the responsibility we have in sort of evolving a company that's consequential, a company that has purpose. I think the only way we can do that is to do so with our clients, to understand their needs, to build a company that is mission-driven with more than just kind of the traditional results. The, you know, investment results are always going to be at the core of what we do and delivering those results for our clients. But what more can we do? How do we elevate investing to become worth more to our clients and to ourselves, to our employees, and to the world in a larger sense? And so we should think about and work with our clients to understand what kind of company we need to be and we can be because we have the capability and the potential to do so.
I like that, Joe. Thank you. And thanks for joining us today. I personally could not be more excited for the future of our firm and clients of Allspring Global Investments.
Happy to do it anytime, Allegra.
That wraps up our episode of On the Trading Desk podcast. If you'd like to read more market insights and investment perspectives from Allspring Global Investments, you can find them on our firm's website. To stay connected to On the Trading Desk and listen to past and future episodes of the program, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Until next time, I'm Allegra Heiligers, and thanks for listening.
The views expressed in any forward-looking statements are those of the authors and/or Allspring Global Investments. Discussions of individual securities or the markets generally are not intended as individual recommendations. Future events or results may vary significantly from those expressed in any forward-looking statements. The views expressed are subject to change at any time in response to changing circumstances in the market. Allspring Global Investments disclaims any obligation to publicly update or revise any views expressed or forward-looking statements. All investing involves risks, including the possible loss of principal. There can be no assurance that any investment strategy will be successful. Investments fluctuate with changes in market and economic conditions and in different environments due to numerous factors, some of which may be unpredictable. Each asset class has its own risk and return characteristics. Allspring Global Investments is the trade name for the asset management firms of Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC, a holding company indirectly owned by certain portfolio companies of GTCR, LLC, and Reverence Capital Partners, LP. These firms include, but are not limited to, Allspring Global Investments, LLC, and Allspring Funds Management, LLC. Certain products managed by Allspring entities are distributed by Allspring Funds Distributor, LLC, a broker-dealer and member FINRA. SIPC. November 2021.